All right, everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, we're going to read a few verses of Scripture. Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 7. If you're able to, if you could, please stand in honor of God's Word. Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 7 all the way through to the end of the passage. Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and of a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Raphaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. And dear Heavenly Father, I feel inadequate. We need you. Dear Heavenly Father, represented here this morning, maybe broken hearts, maybe people with physical ailments. Dear Heavenly Father, maybe even somebody that today is the last day on this earth. You never know. Dear Heavenly Father, the importance is there for you to meet with us. Dear Heavenly Father, if it was just me, I'd be wasting all these people's time. Dear Heavenly Father, I beg of you, please meet with us this morning. Use your word as you see fit. Help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hopefully we know what faith is. When it comes down to it, I'll never forget at the revival in Marion. I believe it was, one of the preachers defined faith as confidence in God. And basically, according to what the Bible says, is now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11. But here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, faith is something that we should be maturing. Faith is something that we should be growing. Faith is, as I've heard pastors say, that faith is kind of like a muscle. And, I tease the boys a lot of times, and I'm like, it looks like you need a little more time on the pull-up bar, or a little more time push-ups, you know. And I remember as I was growing up, my dad, a lot of times he would have us, he bought a fixer-upper, and we lived on a hill, and there was plenty of dirt to move. And I remember carrying buckets of dirt and helping him put up a fence and laying railroad ties for terracing the landscape and all these things. And I'll never forget, in high school, I can't say I was the strongest one there, but I had a little bit of muscle because of work and because I had worked at it. And the thing about it is we need to exercise our faith. And God talks about how he gives us, everyone, a measure of faith. it's like a muscle that we need to exercise, and the larger and stronger it becomes. And as we, as you know, God leads us through different circumstances and through different trials, our faith is what gets us through. And confidence in God, confidence that He can do what He said He would do. And in this passage, basically, we study the faith of Abraham. And if you'll remember, Abraham left his home, and he left his family, he left his country, and to a land that that God had promised him. And basically, he had exercised great faith. In God's eyes, you know, he had done something that basically was acceptable to God. You see, God had even greater tests in the future, basically in store for Abraham's faith. And he needed to exercise his faith. And so this morning, this is how long we're going to preach. It's going to be tonight by the end of the sermon. And no, just joking. But anyways, we're going to talk about, or we're going to look at Abraham's faith. Look at verse 7 and 8 in Genesis chapter 15. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, and to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? God is reminding Abraham of certain things. And by the way, as we have faith in God, I believe these same things will help us as we take and place faith, confidence in God that he will do what he says. You know, God is reminding him of several things. One is his person. You know, God is referring to him as the I am. All throughout in scripture, the I am meant something. You know, as God sent Moses, the I am has sent you. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to the I am referred to Jehovah, the self-existent one. And God was reminding Abraham of who he is dealing with. Who is sending Abraham? The I am, the Jehovah. You know, too many times we have a tendency of just forgetting who's in control of our life. We should be serving the Jehovah God, the I am, the great and powerful God. You know, here's the thing is, he is everything, and he was here before everything, and he will be here after everything. You know, we see throughout scripture, he is a powerful God. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. We see the power of God, and just remember the parting of the Red Sea and Elijah on Mount Carmel. God is a very powerful God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, the Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So here's the thing is, any situation that we have, any situation that we are in, whether it be a heartbreak, whether it be physical ailments, whether it be financial struggles, whether it be problems in family. Hey, listen, my God is powerful enough and more powerful than any circumstances. He is powerful. He is able. And we sing the song that I love down at Junior Church. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. Hey, listen, my God is a powerful God. Let's not forget who we're dealing with. Next, he is a present God. In Hebrews chapter 13, we see that God is a very present God. He hasn't left us in the dust. He hasn't just walked away. He hasn't forgotten us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. But I tell you what, he is a present God. He hasn't just left us alone. And next, he is a perceptive God. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And I tell the kids this all the time, that hey, listen, when it comes down to it, this can either be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. If we're doing something that God doesn't want us to know about, this is a bad thing. It's just like with the police officers. Your view of the police is basically determined by what you're doing. And if you're breaking the law, the police officer is not your friend. And so you think. But if you know what? If you're a law-abiding citizen, then chances are you like that police officer because they're protecting you. Well, God's the same way. You know what? God sees the evil and the good. But you know what? He sees everything, and he is in control of our life. And, you know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to God is the Jehovah God. He is powerful. He is present. He is perceptive, and he's in control of our life. Too many times we see circumstances as what we can control. You know what? That's not faith. Faith is trusting in what God can control. Realizing that God can part the sea. Realizing that God can take and calm the storm. Realizing that God knows more than the doctors. That God knows more than humanity all around. He is Jehovah God. God reminds Abraham of his power. And see, here's the thing is that God's power has not waned. We read about the revivals in the past, and we read about how the man of God gets up and pours out of his heart, and people flood down to the altar. God is the same God as that. God is the same God that rained down fire from heaven. God is all powerful. You know, we've just got to remember that everything we have, everything that we are, and everything that we do is because of God. One thing we realize, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. One thing you realize, especially as you get older, things could change at a moment's notice. Stephanie realized this at falling down the stairs. Her life changed that quick. You could develop a back problem. You could develop different problems. Everything we do, everything we are, and everything that we hope to be basically is in the hands of God. And hold your spot in Romans chapter 8. I'll read 1 Corinthians 15. I lost track of my notes. We're coming to that here in a minute. And but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, the Bible says, But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, I wonder how much differently we would live our life if we realized that. I wonder how much differently we'd live our life if we realized that he is powerful, but that our lives are in his hands. And that basically our life could change at a moment's notice. Would we change our priorities? Would we change what's important to us? But here's the thing is God is reminding Abraham that, hey, listen, when it comes down to it, you know, that I am what I am, and I am, and where we are and what we are is a product of the Lord's work in our lives. And that basically, here's the thing is you can name any area of your life and you can count on the fact that it is all God and not you. Too many times we think, well, you know what? I have this wonderful car. That's by the grace of God. Well, I have a house to live in. It's by the grace of God. I have this or I have that. Well, I've worked my way up the company. It's by the grace of God. And so here's the thing is that we've got to remember that God is all powerful. Next of his plan, God reminds Abraham that he has brought him out so that that he might give Abraham a new land. And basically God's purpose was to take this childless pilgrim and transform him into the father of a great nation. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We need to be careful lest we hinder that plan and inflict pain and hardship upon ourselves. Because here's the thing is God's plan is a good plan. God's plan is the best plan. God's plan is the right plan. It's a perfect plan. And therefore we have to, this is why it's so important for us to find God's will and do it. But I'll be honest with you, it takes faith. It takes remembering that God is the self-existent one, that he, of his person, of his power, of his plan. But we see in verse 8, Genesis chapter 15. You might want to put a track in Genesis chapter 15. But we see that in verse 8, and he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Some may take this as a question of expressing doubt, but I believe it's more of curiosity. Basically, I believe that Abraham here is asking for more information. And, I don't believe that God minds people asking for more information. But in fact, basically in James chapter 1 and verse 5, we see that actually God doesn't mind it at all. James chapter 1 and verse 5, I know I'm turning to a lot of passages. If you want a list, I can give them to you later. But James chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." We need to be careful lest we hinder God's plan. And basically, the thing about it is we have to be clear that we're not questioning God. See, God has a will and a way. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes we look at our circumstances and we don't see what God's doing. And too many times we look and we say, how can this be what's best? How can God's will cause pain? How can God's will, this doesn't seem like it's something that in my mind should come to pass. But I'll be honest with you, Luke chapter 1, and let me just read it here. Luke chapter 1, first in verse 18, we see, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." We see the contrast between Zacharias and Mary, as Mary is in verse 35, kind of questioning something simple. And basically, then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" We see the contrast here. There's two ways that we can, when we're presented with God's will, and we don't understand it, and we don't understand why God would allow certain things into our lives, and why God would allow our circumstances to change, or why God would allow our finances to change for the worst, or why God would allow our health to be what it is. And there's two ways of representing this. And we see this here in Luke as Zacharias was like, hey, almost a questioning God. Whereas in Mary is saying, how is this possible? When you hear from the Lord, the question is, do we immediately begin to question God's will or just ask for more information? Because we see here that back in Genesis, that there's a challenging of Abraham's faith. And look at verses 9 through 11. "And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove of a young pigeon." And he goes through and God gives him a detail on what should happen. And I'm sure this is something that Abraham's questioning. God, what are you trying to do? So Abraham begins to prepare the sacrifice. And I believe that basically the best I can tell, this whole event was referring to a practice back in ancient times that was made as a covenant to one another. They would cut the animals in half and arrange the pieces several feet apart between the pieces, and it would symbolize the sacredness of man's word. And basically, as the two would walk through the middle of these, they basically would say, "So may I be like one of these animals if I break my covenant." I tell you what, that's a pretty strong covenant. Nowadays, it seems like we got to sign a stack of papers and put on there everything on just to sign up for a propane tank or get something free at the fair. But anyways, listen. When it comes down to it, listen. This was a very important covenant For Abraham, it took a lot of cost. You know, these animals weren't free. It took a lot of hard, bloody work to prepare just like God wanted them to be. And by the way, let me remind you that God has a plan and a purpose for our will, or for our lives. And you know what? When it comes down to it, it takes work. It takes a sacrifice. You know, oftentimes, too many times people miss God's will for their lives because we're not willing to work at what God wants us. God has specific details. All throughout this Bible, God lays out a plan for how we should live our life. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to justify? Well, listen, God didn't really mean that in this passage. I know that, my situations are different. So that passage right there doesn't apply to me. Too many times we miss God's blessing on our life because we decide that we know. God's saying, hey, listen, if you want the blessing, if you want to know my will for your life, if you want to know sweet peace, if you want to know the blessings, if you want to know the joy that only comes from walking with me. Hey, listen, there's a specific way that I've laid it out. And here's the thing is, just like Cain and Abel found out that one God found acceptable and one God found unacceptable, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And here's the thing is, just like salvation, there's one way to get to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, God lays out, and too many times people say, well, I've got an understanding with God. Hey, listen, the only understanding that God has is his way is right. And we may not understand it. We may not agree with it. You know what? It may take hard work. It may take priorities. It may take a sacrifice on our part. But at the same time, if we'll take and we'll do God's will and we'll just say, Lord, I am here. I am your servant. I don't understand what's going on. Hey, listen, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take hard work. Lord, your way is what's best. I will do your will whether I understand it or not, whether I agree with it or not. Lord, I want your way. And I believe this was the attitude of Abraham. See, God's will doesn't come to the lazy. God's will doesn't come to the person that's not willing to lay their all on the altar. God's will does not come to the person that says, I'm going to treat this book like a buffet. I'll take what I like and leave what I don't like. It doesn't happen. It may be uncomfortable, but you know what happens is when it comes down to the will of God, our true character comes out. Whether or not we're willing to pay the price, whether or not we're willing to take and make the sacrifice, whether or not we're willing to say, Lord, my priorities are different than yours. I'm going to go with yours. Because we see the challenge of the protection here in verse 11. He's made the sacrifice, and I'll be honest with you, this is one of the hardest parts. You've done what God told you to do, and God hasn't given you the answer yet. And we see here in verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, that Abraham drove them away. Oftentimes, faith and patience go hand in hand. And you know what? If you're anything like me, patience does not come naturally. And too many times, we know that God has told us to take that step, and we take it. And then we're like, God, where's the answer? But I'll be honest with you, faith, a major part of faith is patience. I can't imagine what Abraham is feeling. He's made the sacrifice. He's cut up the animals. He's laid them out. He's followed God's instruction to a T. Where's God? And I'm sure as he's swatting away these buzzards or whatever they are, I'm sure he's thinking, God, where's the answers? Why aren't you moving? But patience. You know, the thing about it is I get the impression like these instructions took took a long time. He's in a holding pattern here. The sacrifice is ready. He's guarding it, and God doesn't show up when he thinks God should show up. And I'll be honest with you, I've been there. And I'm sure if a lot of you are honest with us, hey, listen, we've been ourselves. This is when patience is something that God is trying to build in our lives. You know what? God is never late. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 31. We see here that, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God knows the perfect timing. God knows what's best. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that waiting is what's healthy for us spiritually. Sometimes, even though we want the answer now, we want God to work now, it's not what's best. God knows the timing. Sometimes God allows us to pray for the salvation of a loved one for many years. Sometimes we pray and we pour out our hearts to God and say, "God, if I could just get through this health problem of maybe myself or my spouse or maybe, you know, this financial problem, if you just deliver me." Here's the thing is, we need to have faith that God knows the right time. And God is doing a work in our hearts that only God can do. We see the confirmation of Abraham's faith in verse 12. "When the sun was going down and a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and lo, the horror of the great darkness fell upon him." When the Lord finally did show up, it was in darkness. I believe part of the darkness was because of the time of day it was. I believe that the other part was the fact that God was doing a work and trying to do something in Abraham's life. God brought Abraham into a dark time so that God could increase and mature his faith. God still does this in the lives of his people. He sends us into dark times so that we might learn to trust in him. He allows our faith to be matured in darkness. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A lot of times we gloss over the hard time, the dark time. Imagine standing boldly and saying, "No, we won't bow." Imagine the dark time as they're being bound and drawn before the king. As they're told that, you know what, that they're going to be cast into a furnace for standing for the Lord. Imagine as one of them says, "You know what? My God is able to deliver me, but if not, you know what?" Basically saying, "I'm willing to die for my faith." Talk about a dark time. But you know what? Sometimes it's those dark times that are necessary to grow our faith. And you know what? When we look back, we see the time of walking in the furnace with the Lord. Think about Daniel. Think about the time where, you know what? He was just doing what God wanted him to do. "What do you mean I'm going to get thrown into a den of lions? Why? I don't understand it. God, I've got so much I've got to do." And here's the thing is I don't know. The Bible doesn't talk about whether, you know, what was going through his mind at the time. But think about the dark time of Daniel. But that was a necessity for revival. Because when he came out of there unharmed, God had a work in Daniel's life and God had a work that he was doing in the king's life. Think about Noah for all those years doing what God wanted him to do, preaching with no converts. Think about that. Man, I tell you what, we love to see converts. We love to see people walking down the aisle. Are we willing to preach and we willing to do what God wants us to do with no converts? Why do we do what we do? But here's the thing is, imagine the joy that Noah felt when the rain started to come and realizing that, you know what, he was safe with his family in the ark. You see, each one of us have to face dark times. There are times where we don't understand what God's doing. There are times where we put in the work, but we're still in this hard time. We're still going through this financial burden. We're still going through these dark times. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to, we've got to realize that God is doing a work in our life. No one said it would be fun, but you know what? It sure is beneficial. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't go through life without God if he paid me. And so the thing about it is that, listen, the darkness was there for a reason. And during this darkness, the Lord comes to Abraham to tell him of his plans. Now realize that, you know what? I'll be honest with you. A lot of times God doesn't tell you his plan ahead of time. He doesn't say, Brother Goldie, here's what's going to happen. You know what? I'm going to lay the plan all out for you just so you know. You know what? A lot of times, Brother Goldie, it seems like we're just sitting there and we're like, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know how you're working. All I know is, you know what? I've done what you told me to do. And so, you know what? I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to let you give me my strength. I'm going to let you do a work in my heart. Here's the thing is, all I want is for you to be glorified through this situation. And here's the thing is, in this particular, I believe that the birds have a significant importance, and basically they picture the nations that would defeat Israel. And by the way, when you strive to do something great for God, the buzzards will come around and they'll try and pick the bean off your flesh. But listen, when it comes down to it, hey, listen, God has a plan and a purpose. And listen, you know what? There are people that will oppose you for doing the will of God. There are people that, you know what? I remember growing up, people that told my parents, hey, listen, you're too hard on your kids. Hey, listen, you put too much emphasis on church. You put too much emphasis on walking with God. You know what? You shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, listen, I am a product of the faithfulness of my parents. The faithfulness that said, even through dark times, you know what? I will do God's will in my life. And so even though God doesn't lay out, we're reminded basically several times in the Bible, and for sake of time, I'm only going to read one. One is Habakkuk 2:4. We're going to read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. And basically there's four passages that God repeats the same thing. Galatians 3:11 is another one. Hebrews 10:38. And basically Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says this: for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God says the just shall live by faith in Habakkuk 2:4. God says the just shall live by faith in Romans chapter 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. The just shall live by faith. I don't know about you. God only has to say one thing for it to be important. But you know what? When God repeats it four separate times, I believe God is saying, hey, listen, this is something that you need to grasp onto. This is something that you need to apply to your life. Hey, listen, this is something that will take and get you through the hard times. It'll get you through the dark times. It'll get you through when you don't know what's going on. You don't understand your situation. Hey, the just shall live by faith. Don't try and go through this without faith in God. Take him at his word. Just allow him to work out the details. As I have mentioned, this ceremony was a part of the ancient covenant ceremony. You know what's interesting is the fact that normally two parties would have to walk through. In this situation, one did. The reason being is because, you know what? God was showing Abraham that he was the only one that had to be trusted. That he had made a covenant with Abraham. And it was basically irrelevant whether Abraham walked through or not. You know, there's a lot of I wills. Well, when you look back at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land I will show thee. 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed I will I give this land. And then 13 and verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. 13 and verse 17. Arise and walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. But you know what's interesting is in chapter 15 and verse 18, something cool happens. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I. Do you realize that God's promises always end in, will I? or I have. You know, the thing about it is that God never breaks his promises. You know, there are promises in the Bible that if you will, then I will. But I'll be honest with you, the sweetest ones are, I have. These are the greatest promises cut in stone, and they're one-sided. Regardless of what we may do, his promises will stand and have stood. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." This is just one example of I will. The question this morning is, how is your faith? Maybe you're like Abraham, sitting there wondering, how? Why? What? Listen, God's not afraid of your questions. Go ahead and ask him. He's not opposing you asking him. All he's looking for is someone that will come in faith and say, I don't understand. If you share with me a little bit. But Lord, I trust. I have faith in you. I will do what you want me to do. I'm willing to make the sacrifices. I'm willing to have the patience. And I'm willing to do what you have for my life. It doesn't matter how I personally feel about the situation. Just like you will, I will. You know, we see here in about the faith of Abraham. And I'll be honest with you. The Bible talks about without faith, it's impossible to please him. The question is what's the situation in your life? Are you saying, I will have the faith of Abraham. I will do what God wants me to do. Let's pray. Dearly Father, as we study the faith of Abraham, it's a very convicting passage. We see how wonderful and how powerful you are. The fact that you know all and that you see all and that you're there and that you're loving. You're trying to do a work in our hearts. You're trying to use us. You're trying to draw us closer to you. Heavenly Father, I'll be honest with you. As a human, too many times my flesh wants something now. Too many times patience just seems like it's unobtainable. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us as individuals and as a church to just realize that you are in control, that you have a plan, and that, dear Heavenly Father, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to learn from this passage, help us to have the faith of Abraham, and we pray this all in Jesus' name.